Amen. So I'm talking. We're talking about starting a new series. We call it the Spirit of Faith. And so we're going to be looking at different aspects and components and facets and functions of the Spirit of Faith. And, of course, we find this scripture. We'll start with this scripture in 2 Corinthians 4:13. In the King James, it says, "And we having the same Spirit of Faith." Everybody say, "Same Spirit of Faith." "According to as written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." So today I'm going to be emphasizing one aspect or one facet of this, of faith in action, in meaning faith as a servant. Faith as a servant. So that's today's topic or theme or focus and emphasis today. So notice here that the Apostle Paul said in this verse we just read, he didn't say, "I have it," but he said, "We have it." We have it. He quotes from David, the king, in Psalms 116, verse 10. He says, "I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted, in great affliction. And of course, but the spirit of faith is not for people who don't want to do nothing. Because David was out to conquer and take territory for God, he wasn't just sitting at home drinking bonbons. He was having all kinds of difficulty. And of course, when we talk about faith, we're going to talk about faith as a soldier and a shield, indicating the fight that we have to go through. We'll talk about that at another time. But see, what is needed today, more importantly, with the trouble and the trials of life that we all are experiencing at some degree or another, at some point or another, is a spirit of faith. Everybody say spirit of faith. But the spirit of faith is not for you to sit down and be in comfort and stay casual. The spirit of faith is to help enable you to pioneer and press forward for the things of God in your life. The spirit of faith is for people who dare to believe God in the face of adversity, affliction, and adversaries. Because you and I are going to have to be able to stand up in faith, boldly in faith, in the face of contradictory circumstances, or in the face of adversity, or in the face of adversarial persecution coming against us, and say, "I believe and I speak what God says." Psalms 116, verse 10 in the Amplified Classic says, "I believed, I trusted in, relied on, and clung to my God." Guess what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to know and be fully convinced and persuaded that we have the same spirit of faith. In other words, we believe, we trust in, and rely on, and cling to God. We don't want to cling to culture. We don't want to cling to casual. Or we don't want to cling, certainly, to carnality. We want to cling to God. And he says, "Therefore have I spoken, even when I said I am greatly afflicted." That means we just knees knocking together with no sensory evidence that this thing is going to get any better or turn out any better. We are still believing and speaking what God has said, what God is doing, what Jesus has already done. Friends, this season and this hour, the Father God wants us to rise up in faith. Stir up and step up our faith. We have to grow our faith to new levels in order to take new territories. Many people want things to grow in their lives or in ministries or churches to grow, but how are we going to do it? Everybody say by faith. Everybody say by faith. Everybody say by faith. How are you going to get it done? By faith. How are you going to increase your income? By faith. Everybody say by faith. How many are going to see your family come to the Lord? Everybody, what's the answer? What's the answer, church? By faith, by faith. But how many will believe and receive your healing, hallelujah, with no evidence that that thing was ever there in your body? How are you going to get that done? By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Everybody say, by faith. How are you going to get rid of the discouragement and the depression? Come on now, by faith. See, the principles of faith will be caught, but the spirit of faith must be caught. The spirit of faith affects every area of your life. I'll say that again. The spirit of faith affects every area of your life. Now, there's two necessary ingredients to the spirit of faith. Everybody say two ingredients. They are necessary ingredients. You can't say, well, I have a set spirit of faith if you're not believing and speaking. Now, I want you to look in the context of your daily life or your weekly lifestyle. Your example and the evidence of how you live throughout the week. Are you living by faith or are you living by fear? Or by the flesh, or you're dealing with frustration. Now look at 2 Corinthians 4:13, different translation now, New Living Translation. It says, but we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. See, we have a choice to believe what we see and feel and say what we see and feel, or we believe God. And we say what God says. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, gives us two necessary ingredients for the spirit of faith. Believing, everybody say believing. And second, speaking. The door to the supernatural swings on these two hinges. Believing and speaking. When we say the door to the supernatural, what do we mean? Pastor, what do you mean, Pastor? I mean, it opens the door and introduces that problem, that pain, that predicament, that pressure to who? To God. You open the door to introduce that mountain to God by your faith. Believing and speaking. Believing is the attitude of faith. It's an attitude of confidence in God and in His Word. That means you come to church with an attitude, not a bad attitude, but an attitude of confidence, an attitude of courageous and fearless confidence in God and His Word. Like Paul said on the Isle of the, when he was in that shipwreck on that boat before he got crashed on the island of Malta, and when the storm was kept raging and the troubles kept going on and the situation still remained, he said, "Sirs, I believe God. It shall be even as He told me." Do you say in the midst of when everybody says it's going down, it's down, things aren't looking up, they're looking down, you say, I believe God. It shall be even as God said it's going to be. God said it. I believe it. Come on now. When He spoke it, He'll make it good. I believe God. You got to have the attitude of confidence in God and His Word. And then, of course, speaking is the essential act of faith. So everybody say, believing is the attitude of faith. It's speaking is the essential act of faith. We can either choose fear, doubt, and unbelief, friends, or we can choose to have an attitude of faith and act in faith. Now, friends, this is a choice we have to make every day. Because you can have the same spirit of faith, or you can be part of the have-nots. See, even in the middle of adversity, your faith will get you to your destination. What will get you to your destination? Your faith will get you to your destination. Your faith will bring the manifestation of your healing, of your deliverance. Your faith will make you whole and keep you whole. 1 John 5:4, it says in the New Living Translation, for every child of God defeats this evil world. How many child of God, children of God we see, are out there? Everybody say, I'm a child of God. If you're online, say, yell out, I'm a child of God. So you have the potential and the capacity to defeat this evil world. That means everything the world throws at you, the world system, you might say, governmental, amen? You can defeat any governmental ordinance or orders or organization that comes against you and the will of God for your life. You can defeat anything scientific, medical, come on now, anything that Satan attempts to hurl at you through this world system, governmental, military, come on, science, medicine, anything you can and will overcome as a child of God. But the key to overcoming is what? We achieve this victory through our faith. So your faith level determines your victory level. I'm not getting any victory in this area. Well, get your faith up in that area. I know we've committed to do some extra faith feeding because everybody's going to need extra faith, higher faith, stronger faith in the days ahead. Everybody look at someone next to you and say, honey or dear or sweetheart or brother and sister. Come on, talk to them real nice now. Tell them, you're going to need stronger faith, higher faith for the days ahead. Now, what destination do you want? You get what you believe for. Nothing more, nothing less. Unfortunately, some people believing to get COVID-19, believing they're going to get it. Some people believing that if I get it, I'm going to struggle with it. You got to have the spirit of faith. With the spirit of faith, you will get to your destination. Someone said, well, I don't have the money, Pastor. I don't have the medical insurance. I don't have X, Y, Z. You can fill in the blank. I don't have the context. I don't have the network. I don't have the knowledge. But you have the same spirit of faith. You have been given a measure of the God kind of faith. You have mountain moving faith residing on the inside of you. Now, what you do with that faith is not up to God, it's up to you. And faith grows by what? You got to feed it and you got to exercise it. Too often we're more regimented in exercising our flesh than exercising our faith. And we feed our flesh 3 hot meals a day. Some of us can't even fathom missing breakfast. We can't even fathom skipping lunch. And oh my God, we better never skip dinner. In other words, they feed their flesh 3 hot meals a day, but their faith starves. I challenge you, and I suggest to you that you should be feeding as much as you feed your flesh on the Word of God. Feeding your faith. Because faith comes what? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Yeah, I'll say that, Lord. The Lord said this, just in addition, that so many people are tired and almost stressed and burned. You know, you just kind of really just exhausted because your faith level is low. See, when you're feeding your faith, you're feeding really your spirit. You're feeding your spirit the Word of God. And so some people can't stay awake. Some people can't stay focused. Some people get so disturbed and distracted. But if you don't feed your faith, you're going to be weak in faith. See, God will get you to your destination and your deliverance and your new territories if you maintain a spirit of faith. Everybody say, you got to maintain a spirit of faith. So you got to maintain your spirit of faith. Are you maintaining it throughout the week? Because some people go out, hallelujah, glory to God on Sunday, or man, perhaps Wednesday. Glory to God, hallelujah, wow, glory. But what does it do? Does it cause you even more so to build your belief system and invest your belief system in the Word of God, or does it make you or cause you to just forget about it? We got to go higher. Everybody say, we got to go higher. Got to go higher. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. You got to go higher if you're going to, if some of us need to, I hear it by the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, some of us need to sleep better. You sleep better by faith than going to let your flesh try to wear itself out till you can just finally get to sleep. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You're up all night, wake middle of the night, and you're wore out in your flesh. And you're weak in your faith. You need to stir your faith up. You need to step your faith up. You need to get your faith up to where you can just do like some have said before. They just put their hands on their spirit and say, I'm going to go sleep at this time. I'm going to wake up at this time. They let this take their spirit, make their spirit in charge of their sleep instead of their flesh in charge of their sleep. Now, that's revelation for somebody. Because you're letting your feelings dictate your faith. Your feelings shouldn't be first. Your faith should be first. Your faith is first and your feelings follow. So it doesn't matter if you feel restless or not tired. Feed your faith to your spirit is so strong to where you can say, flesh, settle down. Go to sleep. Now, that's for somebody out there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I believe it. I receive it. If that's you, say, I take it in Jesus' name. You're not supposed to be up all night, especially getting your mind stirred up and your flesh stirred up. Well, praise the Lord. See, you have a choice to believe and speak what God says about you. You've got 66 books. And particularly the New Testament, because that's the dispensation we live under, to have enough bullets, so to speak, or enough faith fuel or food or ammunition to say a lot of things about yourself. Because the spirit of faith has two ingredients. Everybody say two ingredients. Believing and speaking. See, you have a choice to obey, to be happy on the way to your divine destiny. Now, unfortunately, again, too often people are expressing through their countenance or through their choice words their unhappiness. And that just means the spirit of faith, they're in that have not category. Everybody say, bless the Lord. Look at Mark 11:22-24. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in who? Have faith in God. One margin or translation says, have the God kind of faith. Now, Jesus wouldn't told us to have it if it was impossible or just improbable for us to have it. No, he told us to have it because we're going to need it. And the reason we're reading it, because you're going to need it. You're going to need to have faith in God. Now, let me knock something else out here. So many people are swayed on whatever side they're going to select or elect. He didn't say have faith in the government. Amen. Now, we pray for the government leaders. Amen. We extend love and honor toward the kings of our land, meaning the leaders, the natural, civil, and municipal authorities. We pray for them and we honor them, but we don't trust in them. We don't put our faith in them. Our faith is in who? We have faith in who? We have faith in who? Because these times, listen to me very carefully, these times will try our trust. And the faith test that will come from the devil or Satan is to get you out of faith and into fear. Amen. Out of faith and into fear. So what, in other words, you said this is, pretend this is your faith measure. We all got the same measure. I'm just using this as an illustration. And you say, well, I don't have faith anymore. I'm going to put it down. Now, you've been given faith, but you put it aside. You're no longer believing and speaking. You're just letting what happened happen to you. And you're talking about what's happening to you. He said, for surely I say unto you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done. Sounds like believing and speaking, right? We'll have whatever he says. Therefore, I say unto you, what things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Believe where? He said, believe in your heart. Believe in your spirit. Now, people go to head faith and they believe what they see and what they hear and feel on the natural level. Because if you hear a lot of news, a lot of noise, different narratives, you're going to always have head faith and fear. Heart faith says, I choose to believe God. But don't doubt in your heart. Don't doubt where? In your heart. I'm talking about the spirit of faith. It has two elements, two essential ingredients. Believing in the spirit. Do you believe in your heart? What does it mean to believe in your heart, Pastor? It means to believe what, not your natural blood pump, your heart vessel. No, I'm talking about your spirit, your newborn, recreated human spirit. Believe in your heart. And then your believer is hooked up to your speaker, your mouth. Three times he says it. First one is a command word. You command in faith. So if Jesus said you're going to have this kind of faith, that means there's things you should be commanding, you should be demanding, you should be claiming. So go back and think about your lifestyle of your last week. Are you commanding, demanding, and claiming things? Because he said you shouldn't be talking about your mountains. You should be speaking to your mountains. Second is the expression of confidence, of the confidence of faith. There it is. Believe those things which you say. Everybody said, well, looks like we're going to spread and get another spike. Well, what are you saying about it? More importantly, what are you saying about your finances? What are you saying about your family? What are you saying about your future? Do you believe those things which you say shall come to pass? Or do you believe the things that the news says, come on now, the noise is saying is going to come to pass? You believe those things which you say shall come to pass. That's your express confidence in God and His Word and what you believe, choose to believe. And then third, you're holding and maintaining your confession. He said, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So this is just not one time saying it in church. Everybody's got great mouth, amen, hallelujah, voices in church. But is your amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, I thank you for your faithfulness to your word going on at the house? Amen. Even when your body is trembling under the pressure of pain. Are you saying, I believe 1 Peter 2:24, that by his stripes ye were healed. If I were healed, then I am healed. Amen. I believe, I choose to believe that himself, Matthew 8:17, took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. I choose to believe that Psalms 107, verse 20 is true in my life, that he sent his word and healed me and delivered me from my destruction. And he's delivered me from this disease and diagnosis. I choose to believe. I don't choose to believe what I feel in my body or what I see with my eyes or what I hear the noise in the natural tell me. I choose to trust and believe in God. Amen? And when you maintain your confession, you don't do two things. You don't change it. You don't cancel it. Now, when you cancel that, it means you stop saying. When you change it, you say something different or say something contradictory to what you're believing. I can't believe everybody get. I can't believe. See, you choose what you say. He said, you shall have what you say. That Greek word just means systematic, set discourse or building blocks. E.W. Kenyon said, faith confession builds the road over which faith carries its mighty cargo. Its mighty cargo is going to move that mountain. Look at Matthew 17:20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, that means any little amount of faith is powerful. Any little amount of faith is powerful. If you use it as a seed, he said, you will say to this mountain. That means if I don't have a little amount of faith, I'm not going to say. So we say this phrase, your faith has to be strong enough to move your mouth before it will ever be strong enough to move your mountain. Now, if you're silent, then your faith isn't up. Because if you have the spirit of faith, you're going to be doing what? Believing and what? Speaking. He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move here and to there, and it will move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Now, what do you say about that? Nothing impossible. See, some of us think it's impossible for my kids to come back in line with God. Sometimes we think and we believe that I can't win anybody for Christ. I can't fish for people. I can't bring anybody to church. That's not the spirit of faith. That's the spirit of fear. See, because we'd rather make excuses than advances. We'd rather make excuses for small faith than make advances with the spirit of faith. See, unbelief is ugly and ungodly. Two types of unbelief. The first is ignorance. That means I just don't know. I have no knowledge about that. But see, second one is a big one, is a lack of persuasion or being unpersuaded to act. is basically disobedience and rebellion. That means I know what the two essential ingredients are, but I refuse to act. And so, in other words, from my faith lifestyle example, I refuse to feed on the word, and I refuse to act on the word. I refuse to get a believing, confident attitude of faith, and I refuse to make the essential, initial act of faith of speaking the word. So some people stop believing, and they stop speaking, and really that's being unpersuaded or disobedient and rebellious to act on the word. So all doubt, unbelief, and unforgiveness and offense are fear-based and fear-dependent. I'll say it again. All doubt, unbelief, unforgiveness, and offense are fear-based and fear-dependent. They are self-centered rather than God-inside-minded. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. We must judge ourselves. We're taking communion today. We judge ourselves at the table of the Lord. And I say, Lord, I repent for walking in yielding to fear. Now remember, when you're in doubt, you won't shout. When you're in fear, faith is not near. Amen. And see, when you get offended, when you get up, when you harbor unforgiveness, when your mind is meditating on all the things that people have said to you and did to you, and you don't act in faith and say, Lord, I forgive them. I love them, you love them, and I forgive them. Somebody say, glory to God. Even sometimes we get to thinking self-centeredly with saying this statement. What do I care? You know, they don't care about me. They don't care about me. What is that? That's unforgiveness and offense starting to creep in. Because, friends, really the question is you should be stating is, what do I care what they think about me? They're going to talk about you anyway if you're in faith or you're in fear. So stay in faith. Somebody say glory to God. Too many Christians are persuaded about people's posts or say something about their posts. We think we got to defend the post. We got to debate what's posted. Too many Christians are too easily persuaded about the news and the noise and the world around them instead of being fully persuaded of what God said and what God is saying. We must be willingly and obediently act in obedience to Jesus' command. Listen, Mark 11:25, the 25th verse. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Why is this important? Because faith won't work in an unforgiving heart. Faith won't work if you don't forgive. See, our faith walk is determined by our forgiveness walk. Our faith walk is determined by our forgiveness. Our faith level will never outgrow and exceed beyond your forgiveness level. Because some of us need things to change and change quickly. It could be physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, relationally, family-wise, or financially. But your faith walk will never outpace or outgrow or grow beyond your forgiveness walk. What's the limit of your faith? Your love walk. your forgiveness walk. See, if we don't willingly forgive, then we could easily exchange the spirit of faith and lay down that spirit of faith and take up a spirit of fear. And the spirit of fear fuels and feeds you doubt, fear, unbelief, unforgiveness, and offense at a rapid pace. Why is it doing that? To frustrate you. And when you're frustrated, you're not in faith. See, frustration, listen to me very closely, breaks your focus. You're focused on believing and you're focused on speaking in faith. So, because when you're all scrambled and confused and frustrated, you're not believing and you certainly aren't speaking. Did you know the Latin root word for frustration is, I hope I pronounce it right, frustare. Frustare. F-U-R-S-T-A-R-Y-I. Which means the root word for frustration in the Latin, old Latin, means to deceive or disappoint. And so we said the acronym of fear is what? False evidence appearing as real. Appearing real. So he's deceiving you, but he's disappointing you at the same time. See, a frustration is a demonic attempt to deceive you that the promise or the prophecy from God is not going to come to pass for you in your life. So that's why people lay down, they get on the have not. I have not the spirit of faith. I stop believing and I stop speaking because I don't believe that the promise or that prophecy from God is going to come to pass in my life. So I don't hold on to it and maintain a spirit of faith. I let go of my spirit of faith. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen right now. Hallelujah. See, the enemy distracts us through frustration. Some of us frustrated because they tell you, you can't come in here. You forgot your mask. And they give you attitude at the door of the grocery store. Go get your mask. You can't come in here. Frustrated. You ought to be walking back to that car, forgiving. That person at the door, whoever that host is or monitor, door monitor, and you ought to be asking the Lord to forgive you if I forgot my mask. Somebody say, glory to God. If somebody tells you, and you know, I know in the bank, because I usually go to the bank and stuff, and the bank security people, they be telling you, stand right in that spot. They be trying to get you to stand right on that spot. And you see people in the line, they're all frustrated. Trying to make us do this, trying to control us. When you're frustrated, you're not in faith. You'll be deceived and disappointed. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. In other words, the devil's objective is to make your heart sick with fear and with frustration. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. And when you're sick, you don't want to do nothing. When you're laid up in bed with a cold or head cold or flu or whatever the case may be, you just abdicate all your responsibilities. And people do that in a spiritual context or sense. They stop believing and they stop speaking. When it's the only thing, faith is the only thing that guarantees us victory. When it's the only thing that will help you and I get to our destiny and reach our destination. Amen. It's the only thing that will bring about your deliverance and your healing. faith in God. Everybody say faith in God. Everybody say the spirit of faith. So today we got to work on our attitude and our acting in faith as it pertains when we partake communion. We got to commit and submit before God that we will walk and live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, we're supposed to live by faith. You say, well, Pastor, I got a profession in this field. This is my job title. No, your spiritual job title is to be a person of faith. Where God has placed you and where God has positioned you in the world, in the natural economy, and in the kingdom. You live by faith. Everybody say, I'm supposed to live by faith. Galatians 3:11, the second half of that verse, it says, but the just shall live by faith. It says shall. It didn't say maybe. If you're going to live righteous and justified to receive all the promises and blessings from God, you have to live by faith. Is this simple enough for y'all? So we must consecrate ourselves today and maintain a spirit of faith. Too much fear has crept in. The spirit of faith is an attitude of expectation and dependency upon God and upon His Word. So what am I asking? What am I telling you? What is the Lord telling us today? Let's get our expectation up. Start expecting God's Word to come to pass in our lives. God's will to be done and accomplished in our lives. God's works to be fulfilled in our lives, in our homes, in our families, come on now, in our finances, in our physical bodies. We have to have a spirit of faith. We have the same spirit of faith. Then let me leave you with one aspect of faith that we need to embrace. Because when I believe and I speak, it opens the door to the supernatural. And when I believe and when I speak, the spirit of faith is working. When I'm not believing and I'm not speaking, it's not working. How does the spirit of faith work? One way it works, one way faith works is as a servant. Everybody say servant. Now we'll look at this small example and then we'll close and receive communion. Luke chapter 17, verse 5 through 9. And the apostles of the Lord said, increase our faith. Now, how many know that's a good statement? Now, but the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Now, the Lord didn't just respond to them with some austere remark. No, he gave them an answer. Let's look at these keys. He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree. A mulberry tree was very large, kind of like a mountain, but it had very deep roots. I mean, it was entrenched. King James calls it sycamine tree. Sycamine tree. He said, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea. That means when you pull that thing up, it's coming up by the roots. There won't be any evidence that it was ever there. Amen. Somebody said, glory to God. And he said, it would obey you. He said, and which of you having a servant plowing and tending sheep will say to him when he has come from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me until I've eaten and drunk? And afterwards you will eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I think not. Now, a lot of people think that, okay, what was he talking about? He was talking about a servant, but he's talking about faith. Faith has been given to you and me to operate and function in one aspect, as a servant. So we said it this way, when you go to work, you need to have your faith at work. If you stay at home, your faith still needs to go to work. Don't get up and get going without sending your faith and get it going. If we took a poll in church or online, we'd have to ask, what is your faith working on? What am I referring to? Faith as a servant. What is your faith believing and speaking for? Now, this command is you give a faith command to a mountain. He's talking about the same thing he was talking about in Mark 11, 23. Say to the mountain. When you give a faith command, your faith goes to work. In other words, God goes to work on your situation. You open the door to the supernatural to go to work on your situation, your big mountain, your big problem. Are you using your faith like a servant? And he's telling us what this servant will do in the context of being faith. He says, in response to his disciples' request, increase their faith. In verse 5, Jesus made it clear to his staff that they didn't need any more faith because they were asking, Lord, increase. I need more faith. No, he said, you got enough faith. You just need to use the faith that you got. And some of us need to go before the table of the Lord and say, Lord, I repent for not using my faith. I'm in the mess I'm in. I'm in the misery I'm in. Why? Because you need to get your faith up so you can get out of that mess, so you can get out of that misery. Amen. Jesus simply told them to sow or to plant or use the faith that they already had. So he uses the seed to say, if you sow, or in other words, as you say, you sow. So when you believe and then when you speak or act in faith, then you're sowing your faith or sending your faith to work on that. Whew, this is good preaching. Amen. See, faith is a servant of the believer. Faith is the servant of the believer. It is the duty of the believer's faith to do what we commanded to do. When Jesus spoke to that fig tree, his faith went to work on that fig tree. The next day, the disciples and Peter spoke up. He said, Master, the fig tree that you cursed is withered up and dried up by the roots. What are you speaking to? What are you sending your faith to work on? See, while you sleep, your faith can still be working on stuff. If you maintain a spirit of faith, you'll be believing and you'll be speaking and your faith will be working as a servant until that thing gets done. As long as you don't change it or cancel it. Because our faith has been given the duty given to us by God to use in the name of Jesus, in his name, to meet our every need, to meet your every need. Now, I'm looking at people in this room, and I know we got people online. Many of us have needs. But that's your faith's job to meet. Your faith in God. I need more income. Well, put your faith to work for increase in income. So I said, well, I don't have a job. Well, use your faith for a job. Or use your faith for whatever the Lord's leading you to use your faith for to generate that increase or that income. Use your faith as a servant. You see, your faith has been given to you by God to use. Everybody say, use your faith. To meet your every need and to stand against all the fiery arrows and storms of the curse. And then next week we're talking about faith as a shield or as a soldier. Because faith will protect you and defend you. See, servants are expected to do the will of their masters or employers. So you have to employ your faith. And their work is not a favor, but a required service. You're in charge. You get what you believe and speak. Nothing more, nothing less. So if you're not in faith, you'll not believe and you'll not speak and send the word to go to work on that situation. In other words, our faith in God and faith in the Word of God will work for us when we put it to work and keep it working. We must put our faith to work instead of letting our fears and frustrations continue to work. Now, what was that in the context of Luke? They were talking about offenses. Jesus was. He said, offenses are going to come. Why do they come? They are a trap. They are a snare to your spirit. They're to get you offended. Out of faith, into fear, into the flesh, into frustration. And the devil, he sets the bait. And then if we take the bait, then we can fall in the trap. But Jesus said, whoa, many opportunities will come for you to be offended. Particularly at the house, because you got people that are close proximity, you might rub each other the wrong way, get into strife or get into some discord somewhere or disagreement, and then you can get offended. What is it trying to do? The devil's trying to neutralize and negate your faith. So in the context of walking in love and walking in forgiveness, just like he said in Mark 11:25, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anybody. Anything against anyone, forgive them. In other words, you got to get your forgiveness up. In other words, some people say, I can't believe them. I can't forgive them. I can't do that. I got to hold on to that grudge for 2 or 3 days. Well, you're going to basically terminate your faith. Then you got to start all over. And you wonder why you can't keep job, you can't keep money, you can't keep focus. You can't keep good relationships. It's your faith, or lack thereof. See, the spirit of faith is as a servant helps take the victim out of you and put the victory in you. Somebody said, glory to God. See, as a servant, faith takes you into new territories and new possibilities. Let your faith take you into new territories and new possibilities. Come on, just lift your hands and thank God right now. Thank you, Lord. Come on, stand to your feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you that we have the same spirit of faith. Thank you, Father God, that we have a measure of the God kind of faith. We have a measure of the faith that created the universe.